for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday afternoon, July the 2nd, 1995. 4th of July week, a family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. George Wingate of Jacksonville, Florida, is the speaker of the afternoon.
John, you don't know how just how that last song there, that sanctuary, I've been singing that all day. Do you really want to be a sanctuary for God? It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. The only way you can be a sanctuary for God is to get yourself out of the way. And the only way you're going to get yourself out of the way is to get the devil out of the way. Because as long as self has anything to do with life, the enemy has a door in which and through which to work. You've got to be dead to self and alive to Christ. Listen to this. When you are forgotten or neglected or purposely set at naught, and you don't sting and hurt with the insult or the oversight, but your heart is happy being counted worthy to suffer for Christ, that is dying to self. When your good is evil spoken of, when your wishes are crossed, your advice disregarded, your opinions ridiculed, and you refuse to let anger rise in your heart or even defend yourself, but take it all in patient, loving silence, that is dying to self. You still want to be a sanctuary? When you lovingly and patiently bear any disorder, any irregularity, any impunctuality, or any annoyance, when you stand face to face with waste, folly, extravagance, spiritual insensibility, and endure it as Jesus endured, that is dying to self. When you are content with any food, any offering, any climate, any society, any raiment, any interruption by the will of God, that's dying to self. Still want to be a sanctuary? When you never care to refer to yourself in conversation, or to record your own good works, or itch after commendations, when you can truly love to be unknown, that's dying to self. When you can see your brother prosper and have his needs met and can honestly rejoice with him in spirit and feel no envy while your own needs are far greater and in desperate circumstances, that's dying to self. When you can receive correction and reproof from one of less stature than yourself and can humbly submit inwardly as well as outwardly, finding no rebellion or resentment rising up within your heart, that is dying to self. Are you dead yet? You still want to be a sanctuary? In these last days, the Spirit would bring us that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Yes, God wants to make of us sanctuaries, but He's first got to get us out of the way. He's first got to get us out of the way. Glory to Jesus. Lord, I thank You for this time. And Father, by faith, I simply step aside and I say, Holy Ghost, minister through this clay tabernacle. Let Your Spirit and Your Word bear witness together, God. For in my weakness, God, You're made strong. And Lord, it's only through You, by You, and in You that I'm able to do anything. And so, Father, would You just bless Your Word unto our hearts and glorify Your name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. And incidentally, if you want this a copy of this Dying to Self, they're right here. There's a whole stack of them. Come up and have one, two. Take it home with you. There's another article right alongside of it. It says, Others May, You Cannot. It's extremely good. Genesis chapter 1. Now, it says, In the beginning... So there was a beginning. There was a beginning.
God prepared, formed, fashioned, and created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and an empty waste, and darkness was upon the face of the very deep. The Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding over the face of the waters. And God said, and God said, and God said, and as we go down there, we see, and God said, and God said, and God said, and things happen. Well, God is Jesus, is he not? All right. Verse 26 says, God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image. Now, folks, I want you to know without a shadow of a doubt that you are made in the image of God. You say, well, I don't look like God. No, because you're looking at the outward man. When I look at you, I don't see you. You say, well, now that sounds ridiculous. You're looking right at me. No, I don't see you. I only see the house that you live in. You are primarily, first and primarily, a spiritual being. You have a soul and you live in a body. I see the outward tabernacle. But you're made in God's image. And you're made to be somebody. When Jesus went to the cross, he purchased you back from the slavery and the tyranny of the devil. And when you accepted him, whenever that was, God took you and joined you to himself. He joined you to himself. He made you a part of him. He made you a part of him. All right. Let's go over to John 14. Let's prove what we say. John 14, verse 20. Jesus is talking, and he says, at that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. You're part of God. That day happens when you got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And if there's anybody here that hasn't received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then you want to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. That Spirit of God can take you and join you to himself. Instead of standing on the outside looking in, you get inside. You get inside of God. So that everywhere God goes, you go. And everywhere you go, God goes. That's a good way to go, isn't it? At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. God is desperately trying to make us a sanctuary for himself. And the more that God can get us out of the way, the more then he can work through us to do what he wants to do. The more that we can be freed, that we can be delivered, to use the word, the more God can place of himself in us. All right? Let's get on over a little further to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Now, if my reading doesn't sound quite like yours, why, that's all right. I've got the Amplified Bible. I like it, and I've had it for a long time. It was a gift to me. So I thank the Lord for it. And I've got four or five other translations, too, to go right along with it. We are a blessed people in some places in this earth that if they could get just one page of the Bible, they'd think that they were awfully blessed. So by whatever appeal to you there is in our mutual dwelling in Christ, by whatever strengthening and consoling and encouraging our relationship in him affords, by whatever persuasive incentive there is in love, by whatever participation in the Holy Spirit we share, and by whatever depth of affection and compassionate sympathy, fill up and complete my joy. By living in harmony and being of the same mind and one in purpose. Now, I want you to think about that. It says being of the same mind. That doesn't leave any room for any contention or strife or rivalry or anything, whatever, does it? Amen or oh me. Fill up and complete my joy by living in harmony and being of the same mind and one in purpose, having the same love, being in full accord and of one harmonious mind and intention. Isaiah 26:3, God says, I will keep you in perfect peace if you'll just keep your mind stayed on me. So it's obvious then any time that we lose our peace, there's any kind of uproar within us, it's obvious our mind's not on God. God's a God of peace. God's a God of love. And all the other attributes of the Spirit of God. Then verse 3 says, do nothing from factual motives, through contentiousness, strife, selfishness, or for unworthy ends, or prompted by conceit and empty arrogance. Instead, in the true spirit of humility, that is lowliness of mind, let each regard the others as better than and superior to himself, thinking more highly of one another than you do of yourselves. Getting awfully quiet in here. Let each of you esteem and look upon and be concerned for not merely his own interest, but also each for the interest of others. Let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility. That's quite an order, isn't it? But it isn't there just for us to read and say, well, that's good reading. My Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. To be that sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. We get to the tried part, and then we begin to say, oh me, but God. Well, why does it have to be this way? Well, how come I got this flat tire on my car? Well, how come the washing machine quit working? I mean, I could go on all the little foxes that try to spoil the vine. Not that we don't have those things happen. But instead of us doing what the Word of God says, we do what this says, and we get in problems. The Word of God says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I don't thank him for a flat tire, but I do thank him, say, well, Lord, you know all about it. I thank you that I've got the strength to fix it. And I thank you, Lord, for this time of being shut down, because it just may happen that if I went on down the highway, I'd have been right at an intersection when somebody run a red light through it, and I'd have got clobbered. In everything, give thanks. Boy, if we could just do that, wouldn't it stop a lot of fussing and feuding? Shortly after my precious wife and I were married 18 years ago, the Lord opened up an opportunity for me to minister to a precious brother in the Lord, and we were going 12 miles up to his home. And my wife and I are driving along, and all of a sudden these words start just coming out of her mouth, you know, just bubbling out, just words of ridiculous nothing. And I knew then what the devil was trying to do. He wanted me to get in an argument so I'd get disgusted, turn around and go back home, and that man wouldn't get a blessing. But I just looked over, and I didn't talk to my wife. I talked to that spirit. I said, you shut up, devil, I'll deal with you later. She stopped right then. Because I wasn't talking to her. That spirit was using her mouth. Oh, she must not have been a Christian. Yes, she was a spirit-baptized Christian. She'd been a Christian since she was 15 years old. Been baptized in the Holy Ghost for several years. But yet, I mean, from the time we got married for the next 2 or 3 months, there was a lot of deliverance that took place. In both of us, you are a Christian by virtue of the Spirit of God calling you out of the darkness of your own personal self. The Spirit of God wooing you unto Him. That's you, the spirit being. You're not a Christian because you mentally said, okay, I'll be a Christian. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And we need to stop allowing flesh and blood to control us, the spirit person, in being disobedient to the counsels of God in any way whatsoever. And little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept, as we bring every thought into obedience to Christ, then we become that sanctuary, pure and holy. Without holiness, no man shall see God. Let's read a couple more verses here. Philippians 2, verse 6. Who, although being essentially one with God, and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained, but stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity so as to assume the guise of a servant, slave, in that he became like men and was born a human being. And after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. The Bible says that we must fill up the sufferings of Christ in our mortal bodies. So if Jesus was despised and rejected of men, then in order for us to be that sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, we're going to suffer rejection and all the other little things that, you know, what are we supposed to do with all of that? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Well, I don't feel like it. Well, who said you had to feel like it? You see, the minute that you say, I don't feel like it, you have carnally minded, accepted the position of being in the flesh. There are good feelings, and being a Christian, I tell you what, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The strength of the Lord is my joy. But my feelings do not rule me. If they did, I wouldn't be here. I'd be home probably sitting on my deck with an afternoon cup of coffee saying, oh, my poor back. Pulled all the muscles and ligaments in that lower part of my back about a month ago and twisting around out in the ocean fishing with my nephew. And immediately the enemy starts, you know, he just starts harassing. Fui on him. My body is not going to tell me what to do. Please, folks, as Christians, accept your position in God. Jesus said in Luke 10:19, behold, I give to you power over all the power of the devil. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. There is enough dormant power within this group right here to turn this whole state and the whole business right side up. Not upside down. It's already upside down. It simply needs to be turned right side up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God prepare us to be sanctuaries. God give us a holy boldness. A holy boldness. Praise the Lord. But it's only going to happen if we're willing to strip ourselves. Don't let God do it. Don't wait for Him to do it. If the Lord gives us power over all the power of the enemy, then we have the authority, the power, the ability to say no to those desires, those thoughts, those impulses that rampage through this thing called a brain. Out of a total aggregate of 100%, there's not one person in this room that's even got up to 10% of usage of this brain. Say, why not? Let's just say that some of us have arrived at that 10%. Well, that doesn't say anything. There's 90% not used. Why not? Because we have an enemy. And that enemy is desperately trying to keep anybody from being totally, totally surrendered to Jesus Christ. Jesus defeated him. Isn't that right? I mean, he put a whooping on him. And Jesus said, what I've done, you will do. Did he not? Well, one of the things that Jesus did, he stripped himself. And he said, what I've done now, you will do. But Lord, I don't want to do that. God said, I didn't ask you if you wanted to. I just said, if you want to be what I want you to be, that's what you're going to have to do. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. We must learn how to communicate all over again. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 22. And again, we see the word strip. Well, today, people think all we ought to do, you know, is go out and strip off all of our clothes. No, that's not what it's talking about. Strip yourselves of your former nature. Put off and discard your old unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lust and desires that spring from delusion, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. When I was in the service during World War II, in boot camp, there was a guy that manipulated and he made up his mind he wasn't going to stay in the service. He was going to get out. And so he came up with a plan. He made believe that he was nuts. And he'd ride an imaginary motorcycle. And every little piece of paper, he'd stop and pick it up. And he'd look at it. No, that ain't it. And he'd throw it down and he'd go on a little bit further. And he was always doing this. And they took him in and they, you know, he played along with them. And they said, well, I guess this guy's bad. You know, he'll just be a mess, so we'll turn him loose. So the day he got his discharge paper, he walks with a big smile down to the gate of the guard, and he said, I found it. I got it. This is the piece I've been looking for. I mean, that's a true story. There's something that we're looking for. There's something that the spirit of man is crying out for. And it isn't in the material world at all. I mean, you can, whatever it is, don't make any difference. You won't find what you're really looking for with a new car, a new home, a swimming pool, or whatever. It won't find it. The only thing that's truly going to satisfy is Jesus. Jesus. He's what we're looking for. And it's amazing, the closer we draw to Him, the less anything the world has to offer appeals to us. I could care less. Glory to God. As the little boy said, it gets, and he's eating that big old cookie, he said, it gets gooder and gooder all the time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to be successful as a Christian. How about you? My grandson came to stay with us a few years ago, 13 years old, a washout in school, a failure, on drugs. The second day, he rode a Greyhound bus from California to Florida. Second day he was there, when he got off of the bus in Jacksonville and I saw him, I just began to weep. I said, all right, Lord, I'm really going to talk to him within the next day or two. And it was the next day, the second day. He and I got together, and I sit him down and talk with him, and I said, now I want to ask you a question. Do you want to be a success or a failure? I ask you the same question. Do you want to be a success or a failure? And I don't think there's anybody in here that's going to say, just, yeah, I want to be a failure. Michael says, I want to be a failure, success, Grandpa. I'm tired of being a failure. I said, if I guarantee you a way to be a success, are you interested? Boy, that got his attention. I said, number one, surrender your life in all of its problems and mess to Jesus. Just invite Him to take over. Give it to Him. You ain't going nowhere with it the way you're going. Give it to Him. So He did. We prayed. I said, number two, now you're going to be with us through these summer school months. I'm going to give you an assignment. I want you to get the book of Proverbs, and I want you to read the book of Proverbs. Nothing else in the Bible, just the book of Proverbs. I want you to read it 25 times. And he did. Give him a foundation. Dug into that thing, and really, I mean, he went through it again and again and again. He did it. And long about 2 weeks before he was scheduled to go back to California, he came to me and he said, Grandpa, I don't want to go back to California. Can I please stay with y'all? Can I go to school over here? I said, well, we'll have to talk to your mother. So we got in touch with her, and she said, sure, he can stay there. Less for her to worry about. But she didn't really know what was going on. We told her a little bit. So we put Michael in school. Now, mind you, I said when he come out the year before, he was a washout. We put him in school, and the first report card he brought home was all A's and B's. That's the difference that God makes in a life. And why the... Well, I know why the nation can't see it. They're blind. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord said if we ask in faith believing, he would grant what we ask for. Isn't that right, Brother Noah? I want to ask for something right now, and I want you all to agree with me. Thank you, Lord. Father, in obedience to your spirit right now, Father, I ask in Jesus' name that the blindness be taken off the eyes of those in authority all over this land. I ask the blindness be just simply taken off, that they will see the need for truth. And Father, we just thank you. We stand in agreement. We are, according to your word, we lift your word to you that said, when we pray, believe that we receive those things we pray for, and we shall have them. So, Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Michael went on to graduate on the AB honor roll. The Lord took us from a church that we were going to and put us in another church so that Michael could finally get his wife. Years have gone by. So he's dating a couple of the girls, and they're nice Christian girls. And one day, one Sunday morning, the Lord points this lady out to me, a young lady over on the other side, and said, that's going to be his wife. They hadn't even met. Well, today, they're married. They got four beautiful children. I got four great-grandchildren. He owns his own business, owns two homes, on fire for God. He and his wife both just doing excellent. That's the difference Jesus makes. And he don't mind telling you that the Lord set him free from a bunch of devils either. Hallelujah. Well, I ain't through here yet. Wait a minute. We ain't going nowhere, the Lord said. Okay, Ephesians 4:24 says, and put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, Godlike, in true righteousness and holiness. Verse 25, therefore rejecting all falsity and done now with it, let everyone express the truth with his neighbor, for we are all parts of one body and members one of another. Now, just let your minds kind of just see something here. I'm the body of Christ, okay? Well, this left hand does a little something that the right hand doesn't like. So the right hand come and said, I don't like you no more. Why did you say that? Why did you do that? We, as members of the body of God, we cannot, must not get in contention and rivalry and strife with each other in any way whatsoever. Now, just read on. We'll go on over and jump over to verse 29. This is going to sink it in. Good. Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth. That's a big order. Is it any wonder then the Word of God says the words of a wise man and woman should be a few? But only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others. In other words, if you're saying something and it doesn't minister grace to whoever's hearing it, you got no business saying it. If you're saying something and nobody else is around and you're just disgusted with so-and-so and you're over, you know, you're just by yourself somewhere and you're saying something and it doesn't minister grace to your ears, you got no business saying it. But you're not going to be able to do that until you realize right down deep inside you don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You're wrestling against spiritual wickedness and all the other little foxes that spoil the vine. But only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give God's favor to those who hear it. I mean, everything we say ought to give God's grace and blessing to whoever hears it. I mean, even if it's just yourself. That's the reason that I just like to go for a walk And I like for my ears to hear my mouth saying, oh, thank you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Lord, I just bless you and praise you. And Lord, I thank you that you're creating in me a clean heart. Lord, I thank you that you're renewing a right spirit within me. Lord, I just thank you that you're helping me to become what you want me to be. Oh, I give you praise and glory. Lord, I thank you that the blood of Jesus is covering me. And I thank you, Lord, that I'm being set free more and more and more and more. I just want more and more of you, oh God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God wants his body to stop being malnutritioned and become fat and strong in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn over to Joshua chapter 1. We'll see one word that's only used that one time in the entire Bible. Joshua chapter 1. We'll start with verse 5. Moses has died. God is speaking to Joshua, and he tells him he wants him to do something. He says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Now, 80-some times in the Bible, God says he's no respecter of persons. So if he was with Joshua and he would not fail him or forsake him, that means he won't fail or forsake us. Isn't that right? Well, I just don't see. God just don't love me anymore. I just don't feel like God's around anymore. Glory to God. Stop letting your feelings rule you. Verse 6 says, be strong, confident, and of good courage. And of good courage. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. What's the land that God wants us to take? The first land we've got to take is this land. This little bit of dirt right here. We've got, as spirit beings now, and I say we, I'm not talking about these fleshly tabernacles. I'm talking about us as spiritual beings. We must possess this piece of land and stop allowing this piece of land to possess us. Be strong, confident, and of good courage, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only you be strong and very courageous, that you may do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Oh, you mean I'm going to get a bucket full of money? No, that's not what God said. We think that prosperity is material things. We've been trained to think that way. What greater prosperity can you have than to be joined to God? I mean, God owns everything. I met an old gentleman years ago when I was a letter carrier for the post office. He'd been an evangelist for 44 years. And that was the happiest, joyous old man. And back then, I hadn't even surrendered to the Lord. And I couldn't understand why he was always so whistling and full of joy and carrying on. And I go by his house, and if he was home, he'd be sitting out there in his garage, and he'd be plunking away with two fingers on the typewriter. I asked him one day, I said, sir, what are you doing? I'm just writing little notes to missionaries around here and there. He says, God just blesses me, and I just pour it out to others, and the more I do, he blesses me. Prosperity. Planting, sowing, and reaping. A proven fact. You can't outgive God. This old gentleman drove a brand new car around. One day, we got to talking, and I got late on my route, and he just was telling me some things. He said, there's a dealership up in Illinois that every year when the new cars come out, they just call me and tell me to bring that car in, and they say, okay, here's the keys to a new one. Didn't cost him a nickel. He said, one time I accepted an invitation to go and preach at this church, and he said, I'll come on this condition. That you don't take up any offering for me. I don't need it. Just don't take up any offering at all. He said, when I got through preaching that night and the people stopped shaking my hand and coming by and pulling on my coat and I got back to the hotel and I'm dumping all this out, he said, there was over $500 there. And I, God's ways are higher than our ways. The blessings of the Lord maketh rich and he addeth no power, no sorrow with it. He wasn't looking for anything material. It had no control over him whatsoever. But God was blessing him because he knew he could trust him with it. He just went right on out. Hallelujah. Verse 8 says, this book of the law. What book? The Bible. shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it every once in a while. Did I read that wrong? This book of the law, you're supposed to read it every Wednesday and Sunday. I better get another translation, I guess. No, it says, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it, for then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. The Word of God is the power of God to salvation. A lady in Jacksonville had an aneurysm in her brain, a blood vessel burst. She was in a coma for 50 days. Her friends stayed with her in the hospital. They had a tape recorder with the Word of God going 24 hours a day. And when that woman come out of that coma, she told them that she could hear that Word of God going. She was hearing it with her spirit, not with her natural ears. And I believe that that was her very life. I believe that strengthened her and caused the power of God to rise up and work with her so that she didn't die. Hallelujah. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. Why does God want to cause us to become sons of God, daughters of God? Why does he want us to be infused and infilled with his power, authority? Why does he want us to emulate and become just like Jesus? We read there in the Genesis that God created the heavens and the earth, and he went on to say, and it was good. We know the story. We know that Adam was made, and then and Eve, and then the enemy come and tricked Eve, and she fell for the deception, and she went and talked to her husband, and he just walked right open-eyed into that situation, and he sold out to the devil. Time goes by, and Jesus comes, and the devil tries to pull the same trick on Jesus, but he didn't fall for it. He gave his life, he shed his blood, and he bought back this earth and everybody on it from the devil. It doesn't belong to Satan anymore. Satan's a trespasser. He's a trespasser in you and I to start with. He's a trespasser in this earth. And God says, I give to you power over all the power of the devil. What are you going to do with it? We are supposed to have the authority and the ruling governorship of this land and all the other land. And God says, everywhere the sole of your feet shall tread shall become holy ground. Now, I've been reading a book by John G. Lake, and some of the exploits that he had and some of the ministry that he had, and I'm just getting more fired up all the time. I've read about Smith Wigglesworth and a few others, and God's no respecter of persons. So the problem's not with God, the problem's with me. So I'm still in the process of getting me out of the way, because I desire to be a vessel of honor unto God. Hallelujah. I've had quite some experiences with the Lord, and maybe at a later date I'll share some of them with you. But I tell you what, it's good to walk with God. It's good to walk with God. We need to realize the importance of this word. The importance. Turn with me to Psalm 19. I know I'm covering a lot of scripture, but I'm just following the leading of the Spirit of God. Is that all right? I don't think that we can put too much emphasis on God's word, simply because the Word is God. And if I put emphasis on the Word, I'm putting emphasis on God. Psalm 19. And we'll just start at verse 7. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the whole person. Well, I think all of us could have some of that, don't you? I'm speaking for me now. I'm not totally restored, so I need some more restoring. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Brother Fletcher was talking about joy there earlier. We need a good dose of the Holy Ghost joy. Maybe we'll sing that song. Maybe somebody knows that song, Joy is the Flag Flown from the Castle of the Heart.
Hallelujah.
The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure and bright, enlightening the eyes. And isn't it amazing? The more of the Word of God that we get in us, the Word's kind of like, you know, meditating and studying this Word, it's kind of like adding fire, fuel, wood to a fire. The more wood you put on the fire, the bigger it gets. Well, the Holy Ghost wants to become a big fire in us. He wants to burn out of us everything that's not of God. Is it any wonder the devil fights the Word? I know this never happened to any of y'all, but there's been so many times I'd pick up my Bible and say, well, I think I'll go sit down and read the Bible a few minutes. And about that time, the phone rings. Somebody wants to talk to me on the phone. Or I'll get my Bible and go sit down and lean back in my recliner. And my wife says, honey, would you mind taking that garbage out? It seems like there's always something to do when you want to read the Word. Even if you don't have anything to do, there'll be some thoughts come to your mind about something you didn't do last year. And if that isn't the case, then the thoughts will come at something you ought to do next week. The devices of the enemy are many. Anything to keep you out of communion with God. So I don't just sit down and read the Bible. I don't look at it that way. I sit down with this book, and I look at it this way. I'm going to sit down and have a conversation with God. And when God and I sit down together, I'm not going to do the most talking. He's a whole lot smarter than I am, and I think that he ought to do the most talking. So if that's the case, then the best thing I can do is to read or hear God with my eyes. Yes, God, what are you saying today? Yes, sir. And I found a rule of thumb. The more I let God talk to me, the less I have to talk to him about. Simply take him at his word. Take him at his word. Hallelujah. For instance, he said in Philippians 4:19, for my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus the Lord. Well, he's promised to supply my needs. So then what do I need to go begging for needs for? Well, I put him to the test. I just stop asking, and well, he supplies. Verse 9 says, the reverent fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Oh, you mean it's not going to run out? I like what a brother said years ago. He said, you need to get under the spout where the glory runs out. Get under the spout. Just open your mouth wide and let the Lord fill it. He will. He will. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Well, that's good. You know, we'll do that every now and then, every once in a while. You know, they're worth something, really, that, you know, just a little bit. That's not what the Word says. Verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold. We know what the value of gold is. Now, just suppose somebody comes up and he has a 5-pound block of gold. Puts it on the chair, puts the Bible over there, and says, now, which one will you take? Boy, that brain, that thing, that calculator goes to calculating. The Bible says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. That gold will pass away. You'll spend it, and it'll be gone. But oh, how good it is to have this forever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. More to be desired are they than gold, even than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and drippings from the honeycomb. The purpose of this camp is for people to be liberated and set free from the powers, the principalities, the spiritual wickedness, the wicked spirits, the things that deter and detract you from becoming what God's ordained for you to be. God wants you to be filled to an overflowing with the gold of this word. I mean, so full, so wherever you go, without saying a word, people will know who you are. The power, the joy, the peace, will just exude from you. And the question will come up, why are you so happy? What have you got? Then be ready to tell them. Be ready to tell them. Have the right words to say. And when you say the words that God gives you, expect results. Expect results. And I'll tell you one thing. You can never, ever talk the Word of God without God watching over it to perform it. And it won't return to Him void. It will accomplish what He pleases. There's words that I've spoken to people, I may never live to see the results of it. But it's going to produce. Hallelujah. Words are forces. Words are forces. They're either right or wrong. They either build or destroy. A man took some plants. He wanted to do a little study. And he had a big picture window. And he took two plants, exactly alike, same size pots, put one in this corner and one in this corner. Big picture window. This one over here, he'd come over and he'd mix the fertilizer, and some water, and he'd give each one of them the exact same amount, but when he put the stuff on this one, he'd say, ah, you sorry thing, you'll never amount to nothing. Over on this one, he'd say, oh, you sweet, pretty thing, oh, you're just so lovely, you're so great. This one flourished, and this one died. You might think I'm making this up. No, that's the truth. Words are forces. And I just thank God that we're learning how to control ourselves and what we say. If we can't say something that edifies or builds up or strengthens or encourages, we don't need to say anything. We must stop talking about our brothers in the Lord that don't maybe just look like us or agree with us or whatever. Words leave a trail of destruction or accomplishment. One or the other. What do you want your words to do? Sure, you want your words to leave a trail of accomplishment. Line them up with the Word of God. Amen? Words can build faith or tear it down. One or the other. What we hear, we think about. What we think about, we feel. What we feel, we do. What we do becomes a habit. Our habits determine our life and eventual destiny. Just like your taste buds are dumb, you can teach your taste buds to like anything. In some places in the world, a rotten egg is a delicacy. Just like we can teach our taste buds to like anything, we can teach ourselves how to talk and how to say the right thing. So how about let's stop thinking about defeat in any way whatsoever? I've heard a lot of remarks made right here in this camp since I've been here, since last Wednesday, that are not in line with the Word of God. The Bible says we're to, as Christians, we are to call those things which are not as if they were. Now that simply means that let's just say that I'm not feeling good, and I come up and I say, Brother David, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. I am the healed of the Lord, but I want you to pray for me. Brother David says, well, what's the matter? Well, I'm just the healed of the Lord, and I want you to pray for me. Call those things which are not as if they were. Stop talking about defeat. Control your mouth, or the devil will control you. I intend to be controlled by God. Amen? One more scripture. Psalm 37. Before I read that, 17 years ago when my wife and I were married, we were down at Lake Worth, which is a little south of West Palm Beach. It was a beautiful moonlight night. We were walking on the beach just praising and worshiping the Lord. The sea was calm. There wasn't a breaker that high rolling in there, just a little flip-flop. We stopped there worshiping, praise the Lord. The Lord said, do you see any holes out there? And I said, no, sir. God said, are you sure? Look again. Do you see any holes out there? No, sir. He said, well, I have said that my glory is going to cover this earth as the waters cover the sea. And I just want you to know that. I just want you to know that. My glory will cover this earth as the waters cover the sea. There won't be any holes in it. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. So let's stop thinking about going anywhere, and let's take over, let's rule, let's have dominion, let's go ahead and do what God's ordered us to do, let's go ahead and finish the work that Jesus did, and let's take the authority and dominion, and let's put this situation back in order like God wants it. Hallelujah. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. Starting with this earth and then spreading. There's nothing wrong with that dirt out there. Trees are growing, grass is growing. Every now and then it rains and it springs up and you have to run the lawnmower over it. If you're going to live anywhere, it'll all grow up, back up and be woods. Hallelujah. Psalm 37, verses 3, 4, and 5. Very, very important, powerful word. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shall you dwell in the land and feed surely on his faithfulness, and truly you shall be fed. Trust. God, help us to trust him. Amen? Verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord. Very important word, delight. Not get disillusioned with God, disgusted, anyway, whatever. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and the secret petitions of your heart. When you delight yourself in the Lord, God's going to change your thinking to be in line with his word, with his will, and the secret desires and petitions of your heart will be what his heart wants. Verse 5 says, commit your way to the Lord. Commit. Are you committed totally to God? Or are there times when you have to be committed to, well, let's see what's on. And somebody says, honey, oh, don't bother me now. They're about to make something. They're about to be a home run. He's about to make a touchdown. I hope I'm not stepping on too many toes. That thing got a hold of me, and I just said, hey, we don't need that. There hadn't been one in my house now for several years, and I don't ever intend to have another one. I got to where I was too committed to too many programs. One day the Lord just sort of raised up in front of me a screen, and it says on it, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. I kind of blinked my eyes, and I don't want to see that. Commit your way to the Lord, roll and repose each care of your load on him. Trust, lean on, and be confident also in him, and he will bring it to pass. And he will bring it to pass. Now, folks, I did all that. I rolled all of my cares on the Lord 28 years ago, and I've seen God bring to pass some miraculous things. Some miraculous things. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Well, that's enough for today. To be continued. Chapter 1. To be continued. Can I get you all to stand to your feet, please? Just stretch a little bit. You all have been a delightful, attentive bunch, and I really appreciate that. Hallelujah. Why don't you just say this with me? Let's let some words come out of our mouth that are good and beneficial to us. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word.
I thank you for your word.
May it be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Light unto my path.
Lord Jesus,
I thank you
for giving your life for me. And I ask you, O God, to help me give my life for you. O God, here it is. Clean it up. Make me a vessel of honor unto you. Help me, O God, to strip away from myself everything that's displeasing to you. Help me, O God, to walk in humility before you to take you at your word, and to be a doer and not just a hearer. Oh God, I'm a needy person. I desperately need you, oh God. And I thank you, Lord, that you'll never leave me or forsake me. You are a very present help in the time of trouble. I'm living in a time of trouble. And I thank you for your help. I thank you that I'm covered in the blood of Jesus. That I am redeemed out of the hand of Satan. And I renounce all the works of darkness. Every little fox. Every thought that's not according to you. And I command it in the name of Jesus to leave my presence now. And I will praise and give you the glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Now just praise and worship the Lord a minute.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes. Glory. Thank you, Lord. That's the reason I can sing this little chorus. Going down the highway, I'm excited, I'm excited, I'm excited in the Lord. I'm excited, I'm excited, I'm excited in the Lord. I'm excited, I'm excited, I'm excited in the Lord. When you're walking with the Lord, you never get bored. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless the food. Lord, may it nourish and strengthen these bodies. And Lord, even as we eat, may we keep our minds stayed upon you. And may we fellowship and commune with one another as we commune with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.